Back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon, it's time for us to talk a little Boston Bruins hockey. And to do that, we welcome in Ty Anderson from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how we doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, man. What do you do with yourself with some time away from hockey for a week or so?
Yeah, this is one of those things where I never know what to do with myself when I have downtime. Maybe I'll check out a movie or two, but other than that, probably just work on some other projects as well that, you know, writing-wise, that I haven't been able to get done. So we'll see, but it's always weird when it happens. It's always weird in April or May when it happens, and it's always weird in the middle of the season when it happens as well. So I am just going to be pacing around my apartment for the next 9 days or so, I think.
Well, we're glad to occupy a little of your time with some hockey talk here. First of all, it was a really nice way to go into the break, an impressive win over the Flyers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a Flyers team that's kind of going through it right now a little bit in terms of their on-ice play and some off-ice issues as well. Take advantage of that and to use it to your advantage and bank away 2 points, go in on a high note, especially after sort of what happened on, you know, Wednesday against Carolina and Thursday against Ottawa. You know, you win the game against Ottawa, but I don't know how great you feel about it, just because you did blow a 2-0 lead and kind of had to go to overtime there against the last-place team. So a complete effort, I thought, on Saturday, and a way to go into the break on a high note for the Bruins.
Well, and it's not the record-setting pace of last year by any stretch, and yet here they are at the All-Star break with 71 points, best in the league. Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely, and it's what's been interesting here is that, you know, the first half of their run this year, I thought it was really on the back of their goaltending. And the second half has really been their offense. I think their offense has been perhaps the best offense in the NHL since the Christmas break. They're scoring about, you know, four or five goals a game, it feels like. And so, you know, they're not a one-trick pony. They're finding other ways to win games, to really sort of, you know, shut down games late when they need to. So I think that's been really, you know, so impressive here in the second half of this run here, is just finding ways to win games beyond the goaltending. Because, you know, that first run, the first 30 games or so, I don't know how sustainable that was, you know, to win games in the back of your goaltending every single night. It's taxing. Mentally taxing. It's physically taxing. So they're finding other ways to win, and I think that's what's really important.
Getting a lot of people involved in the scoring, and the power play has certainly improved as well since early in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really impressive is that you're finding other weapons within the power play. You know, it's not just David Pastrnak's one-timer or Brad Marchand's, you know, zipping it off from the other half wall there. Like, they're finding other ways to score goals in the power play. Their net front can be even better, in my opinion. You know, James Van Riemsdyk, I think, can take his game to another level from a shooting standpoint. I think Jake DeBrusk can give you more as well, and that's saying something because he's been good. So, you know, I think that right now you're kind of seeing a lot of the guys that either they banked on or they took a chance on producing. And so if they can do that at even strength and on the power play, well, you know, now you have a really dangerous team going there. So it'll go through a lull at some point. You know, the power plays tend to do that no matter what. But I think right now, you know, you don't have as many questions about this team as you did in, say, October. You kind of know what you're going to get from, you know, player X, Y, and Z, and then you know what you're getting from your superstars. So it's about filling in those gaps, and right now they're being filled in.
Boy, is there anybody who's raised his level of play any more than Charlie Coyle?
No, it's been incredible. You watch the way he plays. You watch the complete game, the 200-foot game. He's giving you his best Patrice Bergeron impression. Now, he's not going to be as good as Bergeron, particularly at the faceoff dot, but he's done a lot of the scoring. He's lifted a lot of the scoring load that Bergeron had this year. He's almost on the exact same pace that Bergeron was on a year ago, which is kind of funny. But he's been fantastic. You know, he's been a guy they can lean on. You know, that Brad Marchand, Charlie Coyle duo has really become their shutdown duo. And so that's another part of, you know, him replacing Bergeron that's been really important. So, you know, between that, the exact act, you know, and then you have Pavel Zacha has been really good at the faceoff dot. I think he might be their best player in the defensive zone at the faceoff dot. Like, you're kind of getting it on the aggregate. You know, you weren't going to replace Bergeron, but if you had two guys who could shoulder his load, you know, that would take you far. And I think you're seeing that right now from this team, and particularly Charlie Coyle.
You mentioned Patrice Bergeron. I don't know how these rumors get started, but he's not coming back.
No, I can't see him coming back. You know, the interesting part of this, though, is that the Bruins will keep it close to the vest. Like, if he is coming back, the Bruins are going to break it. But from all indications, he's not coming back. He's enjoying his retirement. His body, as much as he'd like to play, there are things that he doesn't think would hold up over the course of a full season or even half a season. So he is happily retired, I would say. But what I would say is that if you hear any rumblings or rumors about Bergeron coming back, I would not believe them because the Bruins themselves would want to break that story. That's kind of how they've been with Bergeron for a long time now. He is a protected asset in terms of they don't let you break stories or scoop them. You know, they like to break them themselves. So I think that's something with Bergeron that is worth noting for sure.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. So as we get ready for the All-Star break and the road ahead, I think Calgary is first up after the break. What do the Bruins need to do a little bit better, or are they playing about as well as we can expect going forward?
Yeah, I think they're playing about, you know, as reasonably as good as you can expect. I would say maybe if it was one thing that they could improve upon, it's getting some better starts. You know, that Flyers game, despite having 4 goals in 4 minutes, like, that wasn't a great start for them. And then you look at the Ottawa game, they went 17 minutes without a shot on goal at one point in the first period. So you want to get better starts, but that's kind of always been, that's always a question, always the demand from Jim Montgomery. So you'd like to see that get straightened out a little bit. But, you know, I think with their roster, they're playing about as good as you can hope. And so you kind of just want to build on what you've done so far and go from there. But with Calgary, this could be a window shopping kind of game for the Bruins. You know, Elias Lindholm, Calgary center, you know, he's on the block. He's been linked to the Bruins for a long time now. Same thing with Noah Hanifin, Massachusetts kid, playing defense for Calgary. He's a pending UFA this year. Could be a link for the Bruins as well. So I think that Calgary game is going to be more about maybe watching how the guys on Calgary play and maybe if they could fit on your team, you know, 2 months from now or even in the summertime.
Who do you see as the biggest obstacle in the East to the Bruins? Certainly the Rangers playing great hockey, Florida always good. Who's going to be the one team that could stand in their way of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Yeah, I think the biggest threat for them is probably the Rangers. You look at their team, they have great goaltending with Igor Shesterkin. They have balanced scoring. And then you look at their defense. Their defense is really, you know, it's not a one-trick pony. They have Cadre Miller. They have Jacob Trouba. They have Ryan Lindgren. They have Adam Fox. You know, they have all these guys, and they can all play a variety of ways. You know, they can grind it out. They can beat you offensively. And so I think they're the team that I look at and say they have the least amount of questions. And then you factor in, you know, they just put Philip Hedl on the long-term injured reserve. He's done for the season. Now they're going to have $5 million in deadline cap space. So they can go out and make a big move if they want to. So I think the New York Rangers are probably going to be the biggest threat for the Bruins and everyone else in the Eastern Conference for that matter as well.
What are you seeing different, if anything, from Jimmy Montgomery in Season 2?
I think he's more critical. I think he's more willing to maybe call out players, not as harsh as Bruce Cassidy would by any means, but he's more direct. I think he has to coach harder. He has to coach, you know, more demanding. He understands that his team is not as good as they were a year ago, that they're going to have some question marks, and they need everybody going every night. They're simply not good enough to have any passengers, especially high-end passengers, you know, like Hampus Lindholm or Charlie McAvoy or David Pastrnak, Pavel Zacha. Like, they're going to need those guys to bring it every single night. For the most part, they have. But, you know, when Lindholm makes that poor pinch last week against Carolina, Montgomery kind of calls him out. He doesn't mention his name, but it's very clear who he's talking about. And I don't think he does that a year ago. You know, so he's coaching with more direct, you know, kind of emphasis on certain players and really demanding more out of his team because he has to this year.
All right, so no hockey this week. You mentioned some of the things you might do to fill that time. When it comes to movies, is there an old, reliable Ty Anderson favorite that you will always watch when you've got the time?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I get sucked into Jurassic Park whenever it's on. It's one of my favorite movies. Came out when I was really young, so it's like a feel-good kind of movie for me. It's actually funny. I was just looking at the show times for this week, wondering if there was a movie that I could maybe see this week. I'm not sure where to go on that front. I don't like a lot of serious movies. I don't like a lot of I've seen a lot of the stuff that's out right now in theaters, some of the re-releases with the Oscars and what have you. But I am not sure where I'm going to go with that. I'm still kind of on the fence here. But anything that's like 90s action sucks me in every time.
There you go. All right. Well, I hope you get a chance to do some of that this week. Enjoy a little bit of a break, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks when everybody is back on the ice once again. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you. Take care.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us here on Downtown.